Let me set a scene for you. It's a warm Saturday afternoon. You've got your certificate, you've got a good airplane, and you've got a buddy on the ground who texted you an address and said, "Hey, do a lap over my backyard barbecue. You know the one I'm talking about." Maybe you've done it, maybe you've thought about it. You point the nose at the neighborhood, you pull the power back a little, and you drop down for a look. Everybody waves, you waggle the wings, great day, and you have absolutely no idea how close you just came to a violation, or worse, to being out of options if that engine had gone quiet right over the rooftops. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hanger. Today we're going to talk about one of the shortest, most misunderstood regulations in the whole book, Federal Aviation Regulation 91-Y19, Minimum Safe Altitudes. Here's the thing about this rule, most pilots can half remember it, 1,000 over the city, 500 over the country, something like that. But almost nobody remembers what it's actually for, and when you understand what it's for, you stop treating it like a speed limit you might get caught breaking, and you start treating it like what it really is. A rule about survival, let's walk through this together. Before we get into the numbers, quick word from the folks who keep the lights on around here. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones your logbook records but nobody else ever sees. AviationSoul.com. All right, 91-19, the regulation opens with a sentence that most people skip right past to get to the numbers. And that's a mistake, because that first sentence is the whole point. Let me paraphrase it for you. Except when necessary for takeoff or landing, no person may operate an aircraft below an altitude allowing, if a power unit fails, an emergency landing without undue hazard to persons or property on the surface. Read that again in your head before the regulation says one word about 1,000 feet or 500 feet. It says this: you must always be high enough that if your engine quits right now, you can put the airplane down without hurting somebody on the ground. That's paragraph A. And paragraph A applies everywhere. Over the city, over the farm, over the lake, over the desert. Always. It's the floor under the whole rule. So when we get to the specific numbers, understand that those numbers are not the real limit. They're the minimums the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, added on top of that survival principle. The engine out test comes first, and it never turns off. Now the numbers, there are two of them, and the trick is knowing which one you're under at any given moment. Over what the regulation calls a congested area, a city, a town, a settlement, or over any open-air assembly of people, you have to stay at least 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft. Let me unpack that, because there's more in there than people hear. It's not 1,000 feet above the ground, it's 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle. So if there's a radio tower, or a tall building down there, you measure from the top of that, not from the dirt. And it's not 1,000 feet above whatever's directly under you. It's the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet in every direction, a horizontal radius. So you draw a circle 4,000 feet across, centered on your airplane. You find the tallest thing inside that circle, and you have to be 1,000 feet above that. That 2,000-foot radius is the part people forget. You can be 1,000 feet above the field you're over and still be illegal because there's a tower off to your side. That's the congested area rule. 1,000 feet, highest obstacle, 2,000-foot radius. Then there's the other one, over other than congested areas. Open country, farmland, forest, empty desert. There you have to stay at least 500 feet above the surface, but listen to the next line, because this is where a lot of low-flying pilots trip. Over open water or sparsely populated areas, you may go lower than 500 feet. But if you do, you may not operate closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. So in truly empty country, there's no hard floor. You could be down at 200 feet if you wanted to, legally, but the moment there's a person, a boat, a car, a barn, anything, you have to give it a 500-foot bubble in every direction. Not 500 feet up, 500 feet away, measured any direction. Above, beside, diagonal, doesn't matter. 500 feet of clearance from that object. Now let's go back to my friend's barbecue. An open-air gathering of people is spelled out right there in the congested area paragraph. That backyard full of people counts. So the second you're over that party, you owe them 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet. That is not a low pass. That's a pretty high pass, honestly. Nobody's gonna see your wing waggle from 1,000 feet up and half a mile off to the side. And here's the honest part. The reason pilots lose certificates over this rule is almost never a random ramp check. It's the phone call. Somebody on the ground gets buzzed, gets scared or annoyed, writes down your registration number off the tail, and calls the Flight Standards District office. Now there's a complaint with your N number on it, and you're explaining to an inspector why you were down low over a crowd. The examiner, and the inspector, and frankly your own conscience, they're all looking for the same thing here. Were you leaving yourself an out? If that engine had quit at the bottom of that pass, where were you going to go and who was underneath you? Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. This regulation is not really about the FAA at all, it's about physics and it's about people. The FAA just wrote the physics down. Think about what 1,000 feet buys you over a town. If the engine quits at 1,000 feet, you've got, very roughly, 2 minutes of glide and you've got some room to pick the least bad option. A parking lot, a wide street, a ball field. 500 feet over open country buys you less time, but out there the least bad option is a whole field and there's nobody in it. The numbers scale to how many outs you have and how many people are at risk. City, more altitude, because your options are worse and the stakes are higher. Country, less, because it's the opposite. Once you see it that way, the rule stops feeling arbitrary. Now let me clear up the confusion this reg creates because it butts right up against another number pilots carry in their heads, and the two get tangled all the time. You've probably heard 500 feet as the bottom of controlled airspace, the base of a lot of Class E. And you've probably heard about staying 500 feet below the clouds under the visual flight rules, cloud clearance requirements. Those are different rules entirely. That's 9155, weather and airspace. 91119 is about your height above the ground and above people. Two separate questions. One asks how far you are from the clouds. The other asks how far you are from the earth, and everybody's standing on it. Don't let the fact that they both mention 500 feet fuse them together in your mind. Different rule, different purpose. And here's another one that trips up students. The regulation says, except when necessary for takeoff or landing. That exception is real, and it's what lets you descend through these altitudes on final and climb up through them on departure. You are obviously going to be below 500 feet over the neighborhood off the end of the runway when you're on short final. That's legal, because it's necessary for landing. But that word necessary does a lot of work. It does not mean anytime you feel like being low. A low approach at a towered field, part of the flow, necessary and fine. A 300-foot pass down the runway to show off, then a climb back out with no intention of landing. That's a lot harder to call necessary, and inspectors have made that argument stick. If you're going to fly the length of a runway low, do it as part of an actual approach or a coordinated maneuver, not a stunt. Let me give you a couple of scenarios, because this rule lives in the gray areas. Scenario 1. You're on a cross-country over farm country at cruise, and you decide to descend and follow a river for the scenery. Beautiful, legal. As long as it's genuinely sparsely populated and you keep 500 feet from any person, boat, car, or structure. But watch the river bend that curves toward a little town, or the farmhouse tucked in the trees, or the fishermen on the bank. The moment one of those enters your 500-foot bubble, you're in violation and you were probably too low to react to it by the time you saw it. The safe play is to stay high enough that the bubble takes care of itself. Scenario 2. You're doing photo work, real photo work, over a rural property. Sparsely populated, nobody around, you can legally get down low there. But the instant a car pulls up the driveway, that car is a vehicle and now you owe it 500 feet. The environment changed underneath you. This rule is not a number you set at the start of the flight. It's a number you keep rechecking as the world moves below you. Scenario 3, and this is the one that actually saves lives. You're maneuvering, doing turns around a point or S-turns across a road for your commercial, or just for practice. The ground reference maneuvers in the Airman Certification Standards are built to be flown at a specific altitude, typically around 600 to 1,000 feet above the ground, and there's a reason that floor is where it is. It keeps you inside 91-20-19, and it keeps you high enough that a stall or a botched steep turn at the bottom of the maneuver doesn't become a smoking hole. When your instructor holds you to that altitude, they're not being picky, they're keeping you legal and alive at the same time. So, here's how I want you to carry this rule on your next flight. Don't memorize it as 1,500, memorize it as a question you ask yourself continuously. If the engine quit right now, where would I put it, and would I hurt anyone doing it? If you can answer that cleanly, you are almost certainly legal, because the whole regulation was reverse engineered from that exact question. Over a town, that answer requires altitude, so give the town 1,000 feet and a wide berth, over open country. 500 feet is your floor, unless it's truly empty, and even then, 500 feet from anything that could get hurt. And on takeoff and landing, you get to be low, but only because you're actually taking off or landing, not because low looks cool. The good news is that if you just fly normal cruise altitudes and fly stabilized approaches, you will go your entire career without ever thinking hard about this rule. It only becomes a trap when you deliberately go looking for the ground, the barbecue, the buzz job, the low pass down the beach for the camera. That's when 91-2019 quietly becomes the most important number in the book. The information today comes straight from Part 91 of the Federal Aviation Regulations and the FAA's own guidance on ground reference maneuvers in the Airman Certification Standards. Read the reg yourself, it's 4 short paragraphs, and now that you know the first one is the important one, it'll read completely differently. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Fly a little higher over the people you love, wave from 1,000 feet, and I'll see you back in the pattern.